two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. And I want to say thank you to Major League Baseball. For the last 3.5-4 days, you've kept my interest with some of the, especially with the Astros-Dodgers series and Joe Kelly getting tossed and suspended for 8 games. Thank you so much for holding the place as now NBA basketball is back. And the Jazz get the win tonight, 106-104 over the New Orleans Pelicans. The first game back for the NBA restart. And baseball, like I said, you won't be missed really, because baseball is hard to get into right now for me, especially with the NBA starting up. Scott Mitchell at the Draper Annex of KSL News Radio, and joining us on the horn, Bill Riley, voice of the Utes and voice of Real Salt Lake. Welcome to the program, Bill Riley.
I knew KSL used to have that location in Provo, right there on the Provo Orem. I did shows out of there years.
Oh yeah,
I didn't realize there was a KSL Draper studio.
Yeah,
as well.
It's a nice studio too.
It's private.
The view is amazing. It's, nice. It's really good.
I've been trying to figure out a way to do some shows from there myself, but I've still not been able to acquire a key. So, hey, real basketball. Before we get into the football and the college football talk and what the NCAA is going to do, I'm still feeling this like nice buzz from actual sports going on here, Bill, which we have not had in so long.
Yeah, and it looks good on TV. Jazz didn't look good for 3 quarters, but Pelicans kind of ran out of gas, and they did enough down the stretch. And how fitting that Rudy Gobert, who put the season on pause, and it was part of that, all the drama, you know, in the off time, they hit game-winning free throws for the Jazz. I thought it was pretty poetic for him.
It was fun. So as we saw today,
it is nice actually to the aesthetic of it. It doesn't feel like another gym. I mean, they've lengthened the out of bounds line a little bit more than
it's a little thicker than it was for the scrimmages. Yeah.
But the aesthetics of it actually look pretty.
Well, like
nice.
Look, we're watching the Clippers Lakers right now, and they've got some local sponsors for LA. You know, the UCLA Health logo there at the bottom of the floor, and it's technically a Lakers home game, so you have the Lakers stickers, you know, temporarily put on there. So
that'll make them play better if their stickers are on the
well,
floor.
Well, it's a home game, Scott, so obviously they've got that home crowd behind them. But to have it back and to feel like it, I was wondering what it would look like. They cut away too much and mentioned too much the fake crowds on the ends, because once they showed that they were fake and they were on loop, it just looked and felt a little bit weird. I don't think the players care. I don't think it makes them feel any more at home. But we were talking about what the discussion has been, Bill, about trying to get the season back into shape for college football. You saw Ohio State mention that they were going to, if the season goes off, they're going to have 20,000 fans at the Horseshoe. I know that in Texas, Royal K Memorial Stadium, they were saying the same thing, around 19,000 fans. Is that something that has been talked about at Utah yet, about the possibility of where or how many people could be coming to home games?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're not talking about it publicly, but they're, I mean, they've got their A, B, C, and D plan in there. The A plan is, you know, nobody's going to be there, but B, C, and D is we'll have fans of some sort in the stands. But, you know, that is so far far down the road, you know, you're not going to have probably more than 9 or 10,000 fans, I would think, at best. I think most everybody's kind of looking at that 20-25% model. So, you know, they've certainly talked about it, that they need to get the schedule, which will be in all likelihood out tomorrow afternoon from the Pac-12 conference, and then just figure out. I mean, it's really going to depend on where we are as a community, you know, in September or early October, whenever that first home game would be, as to whether they can put fans in the stands. But, they've got a plan in place, but they're not going to – Mark Harlan's not the type that's going to – he'd rather – under-promise and over-deliver,
sure,
and come out here. And, you know, I mean, Texas and Alabama, and these people were talking about playing in front of full stadiums 2 months ago. Now they've done the backpedal. And,
right.
Yeah, well, maybe it's going to be 20,000. And even then, it's really going to depend on where they are in a month and a half, 2 months, when the season begins.
I think it's really hard when you limit the number of people, especially in some of those bigger stadiums. It's like, who gets in and who gets out? You know, I want to get away from, like, where they're going to play, who they're going to play, are the fans going to – I want to talk about, does Utah have to change its preseason schedule or routine? Because there's no prep games. There's no, you know, junior varsity scrimmages against Montana State. It's like you got to come out of the box swinging. So do they change the quarterback competition? Do they, you know, is it like really early on? It's like we're going to make a decision quick, and we're just going to go with it. And if we're right, we're right. If we're wrong, we're wrong. And do they change? Do they have? Are they more up tempo? Do they give more of their starters more reps? Do they have more scrimmages? I'm curious. What's your take on them changing their schedule to make sure they're out of the gates firing on all cylinders?
Well, I don't think they're going to. I think you go from, you know, if you were going to hit fall camp anyway without spring and summer. At about a 7, you might crank it up to about an 8 or 8.5. But you know, they weren't opening with the Sisters of the Poor. I mean, BYU was going to be a good game, you know, this year. I mean, if they were opening with Montana State, that's one thing. But BYU was going to be a pretty good test for them. But I think that, you know, I think they just have to, Scott, dial everything up and be ready to make decisions a little bit quicker. Meaning, you know, the quarterback job, maybe you would have waited 3 weeks. Well, maybe now you've got to make that decision and get whoever that is, the first team reps, after 10 days or a week and a half of practice. Make that decision a little bit quicker. Left tackle, secondary. You know, some of these you might be able to take a little bit longer, but some of the key positions, I think they're going to have to, you know, have a pretty good idea going in. And I think you send that message to the players, too. You know, we're not gonna, you know, crawl and then walk and then jog and then sprint. We're gonna walk at a fast pace and then pick it up to a sprint pretty quickly. So, I do think things will be sped up a little bit.
Will they do more scrimmages, you think? More live stuff, just to get the feel of that tempo, where they don't have games to get that kind of flavor, because it's a big difference going from practice to a game.
Yeah, but the problem is, without having that, I mean, the NFL's facing the same thing. I mean, you know, you're not going to have any preseason games, but how many padded practices can you have? I mean, you haven't had the off-season conditioning to get these guys ready. You didn't have spring football. I think when they go with pads, they're either going to do one of two things. They're either going to go a little bit more padded, but maybe not as hard in those padded practices, or go a fewer padded practices, but when they do go padded practices, go really hard, if that makes sense. You know, I think you're going to have to choose your poison on that and figure out what works best. But, you know, I think you would be, in this off season of all of them, I think you're going to be a little bit more cautious about the contact in fall camp, just because you don't want to get guys injured and you're dealing with a lot of different things without the off season.
Good coaching is going to play into it this year around the Pac-12.
Yeah, and it's going to have to be. The other thing is that you might allow yourself to go, well, we kind of didn't know who we were after two or three games, and then we kind of started to find our stride maybe in games 3 and 4. But, yeah, but, I mean, with a conference-only schedule, and tomorrow we're anticipating, you know, whatever version of that's going to be, whether it's going to be 9 or 10 games, and the word is that extra game that Utah could be picking up is not a small one against Oregon, taking on the Ducks. Is that just the rumor floating around, or are they getting closer
that's
to
just that, that's just a rumor. I was told 2 weeks ago that was a rumor. The schedule is going to be completely and totally revamped. It's going to look nothing like the schedule they have this year. I think they're going to try their best to keep the divisions intact and play your divisional schools. you know, and you only have two schools. So, yeah, it's, you know, if you didn't have Oregon on the schedule, Oregon or Stanford are likely one of those two teams.
Sure.
But you know, there's going to be, you know, flex games built in. Home and aways are going to be a little bit different. And I've heard that they've built a ton of flexibility into these schedules. I've read a couple of things and talked to a few people that say there is so much flexibility. If you looked at that ACC schedule the other day, it didn't look like there was a ton of flexibility built in. This one looks like, you know, it could have a ton of flexibility. So I'm really anxious to see it when it comes out probably tomorrow. I'm going to guess sometime midday.
Well, we're anticipating. We're interested because any announcement of schedule at least puts out of our mind for a moment the idea that it could not go off at all, which is what some of this feels like a little bit, because we don't know where we're going to be come 2 or 3 weeks. So Bill Riley, voice of the Utes, we're gonna keep bringing you on as we walk into the season here, Bill, because we're anticipating good news and then probably some hiccups here and there. But we appreciate you joining us on the program this evening.
No problem, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, taking the break here. We got news, traffic, and weather here at the bottom. When we come back, we've got to talk about BYU, Scott, and what they're going to figure out now. Because the SEC says conference only. That was a shock to me today that they didn't say a plus one or anything close to what the ACC had said. So where does BYU go from here now that they are down to 6 games? Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.